Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There are often stories that aren't big, big stories, but still can have big, big holes in them when it comes to the media's coverage of religion. I think maybe our guest here for the next half hour, Terry Mattingly, has found one, a story of a Irish soccer star who has become a Roman Catholic priest. And in reading the coverage of it, that might be the only thing you learn about it, and still left with a lot of questions about it. The tone deafness of the media is often especially strong when it comes to matters of religion. Terry Mattingly is our guest. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion, and he joins us live from Prague. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
What brings you to Prague?
Well, that's really interesting. I'm speaking at a conference for young journalists from all over the place, but I would say that at least two-thirds of the students who are here in Prague, in the Czech Republic, are from Eastern European nations. Lots of students from Ukraine, Bulgaria, Romania, a few from Czech Republic, several from Poland. So these are people who have come out, they've grown up, like right on the edge of the post-Soviet era. And to say that these are religiously complex countries would be one of the understatements of the year. So I'm teaching a unit on why religion news matters and why it's important to take it seriously as news and also to get the news right. This little story that you talked about that someone sent me, it kind of appealed to me this week while I'm in Prague. I mean, in the sense that, I mean, I live at, this is in a part of the world where soccer might as well be considered a religion. I mean, in Eastern Europe, Russia, Europe, the great European leagues, Manchester United, and this particular Roman Catholic priest is a former football player for Manchester United. What struck me about this story, as I'm sitting here dialoguing with young people from Eastern Europe and from the heart of the soccer world, is I tried to imagine how they would feel if they read a soccer story where people just kept messing up the details, if they didn't know what words meant and they didn't know how people trained to be soccer players. All these things that a soccer fan takes for granted when reading about the religion of soccer, this story, when it takes this soccer player and takes him into the Roman Catholic priesthood, the Telegraph just botched so many just basic little things about this story. So like you said, there's no big hole. But if a Roman Catholic read this, they would think to themselves, it's like Catholics are from another universe. It's like this story is from another planet. They don't know our language, and so I've been dialoguing with students for a couple of days about why this is important, why there are things in their native cultures that cry out for exploration as religion, as religious themes, And even in countries that seem very secular, and the Czech Republic, according to a recent Pew Research Center study, the Czech Republic is the most secular nation in Europe. I mean, and it's not even close. I mean, only like 22% of the Czech Republic identifies with an organized religion. Can you imagine that? But what's also intriguing is that the Czech Republic is also the most superstitious nation in Europe. So what I'm working on this week, talking to some people, is it's kind of like the religious impulse got driven out of organized religion and over into kind of do-it-yourself, make-it-up, superstitious folk modern versions of folk religions. So the students and I have been dialoguing about that. And I basically argue, they say, but that's a secular story. And I say, no, it's not. It's a religion story. It's what people do instead of religion is a religion story. I could go on and on about this because this is the heart of Get Religion. But basically, I've been looking at these people from, you know, the post-Soviet bloc, and I've been saying, I don't care what you believe theologically. What I'm trying to get you to see sociologically is that you can't ignore religion and understand the world that's around you. So that's what I'm doing in Prague. It's like I'm doing what I've always done, but with an extremely interesting new audience.
Now, the story that we're talking about here appeared in the Daily Telegraph, often known as simply the Telegraph, which is, at least as far as I can tell, kind of the British parallel to the New York Times in terms of its level of credibility. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, the British press is divided up into it. The credibility depends on who the audience is. I mean, they are a perfect example of the European model of the press, in that we're beginning to see this now in America. Different Americans trust different media. So in Fleet Street and in England, different types of Britons trust different newspapers. So I'm not exactly sure where the Telegraph would fit into the spectrum of British politics. But you're right, it's a name brand. The Times of London would have been the old prestige brand, but then it was bought by Rupert Murdoch, and now it's considered more of a conservative paper. Still a paper you have to read, but more of a conservative paper. So I don't want to get into the politics of British media, but the key is you would think that a major British newspaper would have somebody there who knows basic facts about the Catholic Church.
What kind of basic facts are omitted from this little story?
Well, it's not just omitted. It's just like funny little tweaks. I called it, it's like, you know, you and I talk all the time about the media being tone deaf to religion. I said it's like there's lots of little discords, and they're very subtle. But to people who read about religion, they just stand out. Let me give you one. Here is the opening of the story. A former Manchester United and Northern Ireland footballer ordained to the priesthood has taken part in his first Mass. Now, do you think that this was the first Mass he's ever taken part in?
Certainly not.
I mean, the man's been a deacon probably for about a year, right? So, I mean, they just didn't say what they meant. They meant to say that this was his first Mass as celebrant after being ordained a priest, right? But then you'd have to know what celebrant meant, which, to carry on my analogy, means you'd have to know the difference between a striker and a goalie, right? I mean, you'd have to know who's doing what in the game and think that it matters that you get those kinds of details straight. Later on, a sentence or two later, it said, the new priest was joined by friends and well-wishers at Monday night's Mass, just a few miles from Windsor Park Stadium, where he once donned the green jersey of his home country, flanked by white-robed members of his order. And then it proceeds not to tell us what the man's order is until like the very end of the story. And, of course, he would have been wearing a Dominican robe during his whole novitiate. Well, you say, well, these are just really tiny, picky little things. But readers who are Roman Catholics know this. Later, let me give you another tone-deaf sentence. He undertook the rites associated with Catholicism, assisted by a more senior cleric involving the blessing of sacraments, according to Catholic doctrine, transforming bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. The rites associated with Catholicism. Yeah, I guess you could call the Mass that, but what in the world does that mean? Involving the blessing of sacraments. Well, there are prayers in which there are prayers of blessing involved in the various sacraments. You see what I'm getting at? They don't know what the words mean. And it's like they're playing random notes. And so we got this very angry letter from a Catholic who read this and sent us the note. And at one point, they paraphrased this new priest as saying, "My vocation is like a calling." Well, that's not a quote from him. He didn't say that crazy thing. That's their paraphrase. Well, what else would a vocation be if you're being a priest? So I know I'm going on and on about this, and listeners might be sitting out there going, gosh, this is just picky stuff. Well, if you were a Wall Street broker and you picked up the Wall Street Journal and you were reading about a stock deal and nobody understood what any of the terms meant on Wall Street, do you think you would notice? Or if you picked up the New York Times and you read about a case at the Supreme Court and they didn't know the difference between a defendant, you know, and the people who are bringing the case, if they didn't know what different lawyers did, if they didn't know who the Supreme Court justice was, you know, and who assigns, you know, the cases to be written, what if they didn't know the rules of the game? And in this case, this was just a simple little story in which whoever wrote it didn't know any of the rules of the game they were covering.
I think your analogy there with sports writing probably is one that might strike home with many, because sports writers are not only expected to know the rules of the game as well as they can to their ability, the players as well, but they're also expected to know the lingo, so to speak, and to use it. And it sounds like, from what you've read of this story, this was a guy who's maybe like asking his Catholic friend, who wasn't that articulate in Catholic rites, to explain it to him, and he was just writing it down and putting it in the story.
Well, that could be what's happened. It could be that the people talking to him were saying things that made sense. But when you don't speak the language, you're writing the words down in the wrong order. Or that you're paraphrasing a word in terms of what you think it means. And they're talking pretty detailed theological language. We're talking sacrament and mass and vestments and religious orders. Somebody might have talked, good grief, they might have talked about a secular priest versus a Dominican priest. Who knows what the heck a reporter would think that means? So all of this was just an example of what we talked to with the students. And what I thought was interesting is some of the students, once again, they're coming from the post-communist world. Several of them have just said, well, what if you just don't think religion matters at all? What if you don't think newspapers should be even be covering this stuff? Because we all know that religion is meaningless. This is not the kind of question I get in talking to students from Christian universities. But it was a very interesting question, because in effect, as we talked more, these students, you remember the secularization theory that people like Martin Marty and others have shot down in recent decades? There was this belief among sociologists that the more advanced the world became, the less religion would flourish, and that eventually, as the world got better and better and smarter, religion would vanish. The secularization theory. Well, there is no evidence whatsoever that secularization theory has any truth at all. As Martin Marty and others have said for several decades now, if anything, the statistics is that the world is getting more religious. What's getting less religious is Europe, and to some degree North America, especially in certain zip codes. But if you're looking at the global South, is Africa getting less religious? How about India? How about the Middle East? and just try to imagine if what we're hearing out of China is true. And if China goes from, say, being 5 or 6%, you know, involved in Western forms of religion, even if China ever just became, say, 20 or 25% Christian, how many people is that? I mean, it's a huge change in the world religion scene. So my point is, with these students this week, it's kind of been an interesting challenge for me, actually having to answer questions coming from a perspective of an aggressive secularism. Frankly, what you tend to hear in America, even from the left, is not an aggressive secularism, unless you're speaking at a college campus someplace. You tend to get kind of loose, do-it-yourself, make-up-your-own-form religion, moralistic therapeutic deism, as it's been called. I can tell you one other anecdote from this that you might enjoy. There was someone there from Romania, and he was challenging me pretty directly about this. And finally I said, how many of you are very familiar with Russia? And you know, a lot of the students raised their hands. And I said, y'all, what is the condition of Lenin's body? And they said, well, they've got it set up where his body never corrupts. And I said, why is that? Now, I left out a crucial part of the question. One of the students said, well, sociologically, wouldn't you say that communism was a religion? And I answered, yes, it had definitely had elements of religion and religious symbolism, but you have to know religion to see that. So then my example was, why is Lenin's body being preserved as if it had never corrupted? And there was this long silence, and someone on the other side, kind of, I could see their eye that they were beginning to get the idea. So I turned to him and said, in Russian Orthodoxy and in Catholicism and Orthodoxy, what happens to the body of some saints? And this man said, their bodies don't corrupt. We don't know why, but they may be 1,000 years old and their bodies have never corrupted to bone and dust. Their bodies are still there. And I said, yes, this isn't a sign that someone's a saint. It's not it's not like a legalistic thing, but this is one of the things that you often see with great saints. Their bodies never corrupt. So then I turned back around and looked at the Romanian guy and said, so why is Lenin's body uncorrupt? And I looked around the room and I could see lights going on. And I said, because you're in Russia. And because Russia has soaked in centuries of this religious belief about saints, that the Russians, even though they were total atheists, total communists, went, if we're going to argue Lenin is a really great man and that he deserves to be the hero of our country, why don't we have his body go incorrupt? And the students all looked at me like I was crazy, and then they realized that's exactly why the Russian government did that. It's something that they had never even thought of as religious. They suddenly are now thinking about Russia and about certain aspects of even the communist era, thinking to themselves, maybe there's more to this religion as news thing than we'd like to admit. Maybe you can't drive the religious impulse completely out of life. I was talking to a veteran man from Czech Public Radio, and he said that even in the communist era, they used to have a saying that if you sent 100 men to the moon, within a year you'd have 2 political parties and at least 3 religions, because that's just what people do. And we might as well cover the news like that, which I thought was fascinating. I'm going to use that quote in a column next week.
Terry, let's take a break.
Does this make any sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to continue our conversation with Terry Mattingly live from Prague. We're talking about media coverage of an Irish soccer star becoming a Roman Catholic priest and, well, just kind of the clumsy handling of a really rather simple story. Somewhat complex in terms of its terminology, but not beyond the reach of the average journalist. Why do these kind of fumbles happen? We'll answer that question after this.
Is America going the way of the Roman Empire? A growing number of Christians think so, and I'm one of them.
Rod Dreher talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's why I say that Christians today should take a new look at the way the early Benedictine monks, who emerged out of the ruins of Rome, responded to the collapse of their civilization. We can learn from them how to build stable lives of prayer, Bible study, and worship in strong communities. The Benedict option, as I call it, is not about running away from the world. It's about learning the practices of discipleship that enable us to stand firm for Christ against the world for the sake of the world.
You can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A year ago, my wife and I returned to America from 5 years of ministry in Karachi, Pakistan. I cannot adequately express how wonderful it was listening to Lutheran Public Radio's music broadcast each Sunday morning before church service. We still listen.
You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, anytime, day or night, at LutheranPublicRadio.org, Amazon Echo, Google Home, and on the LPR mobile app.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at PerformanceFitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or PerformanceFitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest about media coverage of an Irish soccer star becoming a Roman Catholic priest. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., Molly Hemingway will join us from Fox News. We'll talk about climate change and fewer children and that ABC News story that called the Religious Liberties Organization a hate group. Then it's Christ in the Old Testament, Isaiah 41 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Terry, why do these fumbles happen? I mean, even if the reporter believes that religion doesn't matter anymore, he still has a job to do. Why do these happen?
Well, I think the short answer to that is they don't have enough reporters who have been trained in religion. Now, the big, huge question is why don't they have at least one? In other words, if you lived in a city that had an NFL team, don't you think you'd have at least one person who spoke fluent in NFL? If you had a Major League Baseball team in your city, don't you think you'd have at least one reporter who knew the difference between a curve, a slider, a knuckleball, and a four-seam fastball? I mean, major cities, small cities, all cities have religious groups in them that make a difference in their communities and are a part of the life of their communities. Don't you think you should have at least one person who knows enough about a dictionary or even, you know, an encyclopedia of basic religious terms to try to get these stories with minimal accuracy? Todd, just think about it for a second. How would you feel if a subject really mattered to you and day after day, week after week, the news coverage you read just had all of these little mistakes and then even bigger mistakes sometimes? After a while, wouldn't you lose trust in that media? That's a little bit of what we're up against right now in America.
With about 30 seconds here, aside from restaffing newsrooms, can an editor say, go take a comparative religion course, go take a course on Christianity or evangelicalism or something like that? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, the other thing they could do is post job descriptions and say they're willing to hire a trained religion writer. And if you do that, I guarantee you, you will get resumes in this job market. You will get people who know their stuff. The other thing that I think is so important, and we talked about it at the Issues Etc. conference, I think it's time for churches to start talking back. I think to some degree, if a story really botches the basics of Lutheranism, the local pastor has to just head down there and say, I want to have lunch with the editor, and I want to hand the editor about four or five sheets of just basic Lutheran terms. And here's a phone number. Call me if you have any questions. It's time to start taking them seriously.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion, and he joined us live from Prague. Terry, happy travels, and thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here. Talk to you next week from New York.
In hour two of Issues Etc., Molly Hemingway will join us. We're going to be talking about climate change and the suggestion that has been made seriously that the best way to curb climate change is to have fewer kids, and the ABC News story that called a religious liberties organization a hate group. Molly Hemingway of Fox News next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.